This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 324, recorded on August 31st, 2017. Here in Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way in news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios. After a week of hiatus, a little podcast moment, we'll talk about that here in just a second. Of course, we have world-class show notes, and I'm going to do something new with the show notes this week. I'd really love your feedback on it. So if you never go out and look at our show notes, this might be the week to try that. Head out to the AverageGuy.tv. This one will be /HGG324. You can see Home Gadget Geeks 324 on that if you want to check it out, or it'll just be the top one on the page if you get there this week. Love to get your feedback on the show notes. Got a little inspired by a few things at Podcast Movement. I want to try a few things out. If you're not a typical show notes reader, head out there. Give me your feedback. Good, bad, love it. And let's give it a try and let me know. Just a reminder that if you want to get the app, and we are live on Spreaker again. It's been a couple weeks. I broke some stuff here and I just put that back together. This week, we're live on Spreaker. If you want to listen to us live, best way to get it is through the mobile app. And if you want to get that app, you can get that. HomeGadgetGeeks.com is the way to get it done. And we appreciate LastPass and their sponsorship of that mobile app. They're in their last month, by the way. And just saying, LastPass, you're not getting back to me. And if you haven't noticed, just a public service announcement, somewhere in the last month or two, LastPass raised their prices from $12 to $24. That was a big jump, guys. I'm not going to lie. I sent a note over to Amber and I was kind of like, whoa, how about the heads up on that one? And so if your LastPass subscription is coming due, by the way, you can use it. Most people can use that free version pretty well. The premium gives you some great options. Not everybody uses those, but just a warning, if you haven't heard, LastPass and their prices have gone up. If you want to check that out, we appreciate their sponsorship here on the show for this cycle at the end here. And we appreciate LastPass for their sponsorship of Home Gadget Geeks. If you're listening, by the way, got an open slot. If somebody wants to support that app and be able to do that, I'm working on some things. But if you want to do that, contact me, Jim, at theaverageguy.tv. Don't forget the best way to support us if you're just a listener and you want to do a Patreon plan. We got plans for a buck. Head out to theaverageguy.tv. And look in the right-hand corner, just says Patreon. And don't forget, if you're a patron, you get the pre and the post show, which I haven't really advertised very much. Both audio and video come available to you if you want to hear what's going on in the pre and the post show. And we make those available to you. This week, I'll have to pull the audio because we had just audio for the pre-show. But those are available if you're a patron. We appreciate it. TheAverageGuy.tv, check on Patreon. We thank the subscribers and those who support it. Big thanks to Joel Rushworth, who came on 2 weeks ago and joined us. A super fun show if you haven't heard it yet, 323. Lots of great information. Joel is also Windows Insider MVP with me, and he's a good guy. And if you missed it, go back and listen to it. All right. Before we get to Dwayne Robinson, hey, by the way, just welcome back. Great to have you.
Yeah, great to be here.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming back on the show. Before we get started with you, one of the things I want to do, I got sent this keyboard from Jellycomb. So if you're not familiar with Jellycomb, they actually make some really interesting products, some really good gadget products. In fact, a couple of months ago, I needed a 5 USB charger station, right, where I could plug all my stuff in. I was plugging them into computers, and it was kind of a pain. And so I picked up a little $16 5-port USB charger. It just does the job. It's got a little blue light on the bottom, super inexpensive, super durable. It's been great. In fact, I've dropped it a couple times, and it's held up. They just recently sent me this mini Bluetooth touchpad keyboard, which you can see by the size of my hand. It's pretty small. And so a couple great things about this. I've been testing it for the last couple of weeks. Actually took it on the road with me to Podcast Movement and was working on it a little bit in the plane. Bluetooth enabled, so it attaches to just about anything that uses Bluetooth. Makes a connection, all the keys you would expect. One of the cool things is it's got the right and left key, you know, right and left click down here on the bottom. It's also got page up and down and that little button that's right there. And it's got actually a zero latency little touchpad right here. And so the kitchen PC has been what I've used this on most. We got that up there and connected to it. Really easy one button connect. It finds it and installs it. It's a piece of cake to get it done. It literally took me about 7 seconds to get it done. And then, you know, those crazy things that you kind of need sometimes you need a little mouse for. I wouldn't use it a lot up there. Really what it would come in handy for is that media center that you have out there using Plex or even Windows Media Center. If you're still hanging on, you can do that, by the way. Still works on Windows 7, and I have one of those boxes up. But this would work if you got Bluetooth enabled to get it done. So pretty cool.
How much is that thing?
This one, $20.
Wow. Good deal.
Right here. Yeah, pretty inexpensive. Does all the things. It's super simple to set up, super easy, super light. I mean, this is just super light. Fits just about anywhere. You could put it in your pocket. That would look super nerdy, but you could do that if you wanted to do it. Could go in this pocket here. Be careful. I wouldn't, you know, this is like one of those phones. I would not. You could probably, if you put this in your back pocket, you could probably snap it. But fits just about anywhere. Nice in the bag. It's going to become a part of my gadgets in the bag. If you're somewhere like a plane, Dwayne, you do a lot of flying. If you're on a plane and you can't get a full size, right, PC going, you know, pair this with your phone. It would work out pretty well. Touchpad is handy. It's getting great reviews on Amazon. I went out there and took a peek. I just was like, hey, wondering how this thing looks on Amazon. It's getting great reviews on Amazon. So if you're interested in doing that, head out to Amazon. I'll have the link in the show notes if you want to check it out. I want to thank CC Wen over at Jellycomb for sending us the review unit. They're going to let me keep it, and I'll throw it in the bag if you got any questions. Guys, it's not that difficult, just a keyboard. So if you've got one of those things that if you've got those situations where you might be using a full-size keyboard and mouse, or you're on a plane or whatever, kind of a handy little device to have. Check it out. I'll have the link in the show notes, or just Google Mini Bluetooth Touchpad Keyboard from Jellycomb, and we appreciate them sending that over to us. Dwayne, I literally found nothing wrong with it. It was one of those kinds of things, like, you know, usually these cheap little devices, you're kind of like,
touchpad work. I mean,
it's great. No, like zero latency. Touch it, it moves. I mean, it was one.
I need one of these.
Yeah, you should give it a try. I think for $20, like I said, awesome. Yeah, no, pretty cool. Thanks, Jellycomb. And we appreciate that little review for them. And if you're interested in that, check out the link in the show notes. All right. Dwayne, you are back. What you been doing these days? What are you busy with besides work? No, work's a big deal. Yeah,
Windows right? Phone. You know, I'm kidding. No, a little light humor to start us off tonight, right? Mm-hmm. No, so, I've just been swamped. I don't know if everyone knows I'm the lead architect for connected vehicle for Microsoft Consulting Services. So,
yeah, lots of time on the road. I follow you on Facebook, and you are all over. It is crazy.
Yeah, I think last week I was in Detroit. Well, I live in Nashville, so I went from Nashville to Detroit for 2 days. Then I got on a plane and went to D.C., to the wrong airport in D.C., because I went to Reagan. I was supposed to go to Dulles. And so I got to drive all the way across in rush hour, which was amazing. Yikes. And then following afternoon, I had to fly back to Detroit and then back to Nashville. And that was kind of a low week for me. The worst one was the flying 60 hours, total round trip in a week, left on a Monday, back on a Friday, all the way to Pune in India, which I had to fly into Mumbai, and then a 5-hour cab ride into Pune. And let me tell you, nothing's more fun than a city of 21 million with horrible roads and trying to have a driver drive you through.
Dude, that's absolutely brutal. I talked to India just about every week, and they're always like, when are you coming over to see us? And I'm like, never.
Yeah. Hey, would you like some malaria tablets? I think I have some of those.
Can't we just talk this way? Why would I want to spend 20 hours on a flight to get over there? But it's a lot.
Let me know, because I have some leftover malaria tablets if you need them.
Nicely done. Hey, tell me, what can you tell me? Give us a quick update with your job in the connected vehicle. What's public for Microsoft, and what are you guys working on?
Yeah, so we're working on something that we've been talking about, which is called the connected vehicle platform. And so when we talk about connected vehicle, and I tell people I work with Microsoft connected vehicle, everyone starts going Ford Sync. No, that's not what I do. So I work on the Azure side of things and how a vehicle will connect to the internet to send telemetry data and telecommand, as well as things like virtual personal assistant in vehicle, productivity in vehicle. So I think one of the things we showed at CES last year, which I was the lead architect on, was Skype for Business client for a Volvo. Right. And so those type of things, building experiences like that, that kind of bring things to vehicle experiences is kind of what I do. You know, autonomous vehicle stuff, you know, eventually we'll be getting into some more of that. But right now, primarily what we call telecommand and telematics is where most of the automotives are really focused right now. So, yeah, so that's pretty much what I do. And then I fly around a lot and tell people about how to connect a car to the to the internet and to the interwebs.
Has it rolled to a vehicle somewhere? Can you buy a vehicle that's got it in it?
So the connected vehicle platform is something that we're working on, which is the next thing on top of IoT Hub or IoT Suite. And so you can purchase cars today. I can't really divulge the information as to the ones that you can buy. But yes, there are many vehicles, and many of you may actually already have a vehicle that is connected to Azure in some way. But the connected vehicle platform takes it. I was actually talking to someone today, and it was about a quarter of the cost of connecting a vehicle and the effort that it took to connect a vehicle with this new system over doing IoT Hub. And so that's it's kind of a cool thing. And again, you know, no guarantees on that. That's not a Microsoft official statement of we make it 25% less cost or anything. We'll just say I was doing an estimation today.
I'm writing that in the show notes right now.
Yeah, you're officially stating this as well.
The official Microsoft spokesman is what I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you, it's been a whirlwind, though, because I think, Jim, when we first met, I didn't have anything to do with connected vehicles really not even too much to do with cloud. And the company has literally shifted on a dime. And we're so focused on cloud. And I mean, it's funny because we're like, oh yeah, we prefer your car to run Linux, please. Who would have ever said that? You know, thought
said
that
by almost no Microsoft person ever. They didn't want anything to run on Linux, right? I mean, it was, and now today it's a whole different world there. I mean, it's just insane.
It's funny because if you go back, like early in my career, I had this guy that was a friend of mine, and he was like the Linux guy. You know, he was the Linux dude, and he and I kept in touch over the years, and I'm talking 10 years, Jim, that we've been talking to one another. And all of a sudden one day he calls me. He's like, hey, I got an interview with Microsoft. He goes, I want to talk to you about if they're going to make me learn Windows, force me to do Windows. And so in the end, he's now been at Microsoft for like 3 years, and he's an amazing Linux guy, but I mean, that's what he does. He makes Linux work on Microsoft technology.
It's a whole new, in the last 3 years, it is a whole new world out there.
Yeah. And shout out to Paul Thurrott with Bash Shell.
Yeah, right on. Right on. It's been a lot. Well, hey, I know we're going to talk about a little mixed reality, but before we do that, I want to transition a little bit because I have gone crazy on the blockchain over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, God.
You actually have inspired me. So let me just tell the story really quick, and then we'll talk a little, because it'll dovetail right into your advice and what I did, and then we can talk about what we're doing. So we had Edward Weininger on the show, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe five. And Edward's on the blockchain through Bitcoin. He has a company here in Omaha that supports that. If you're a regular listener, you've heard those interviews. If you're not, go back a couple shows and listen to Edward. It's really interesting. Tonight, as we speak, Bitcoin, right, is selling right now $4,775, right? It's insane.
Oh, it's up.
Yeah, it's way up. And so when we first started talking about this, it was like 300, I think 326 or maybe 287. Like, and that was just like 2 or 3 years ago. And Edward said, Jim, buy some. And I'm like, no, that's crazy. That's crazy talk, Edward. I'm not going to do that. Well, even after the last show, for whatever reason, he was like, you're going to buy some Bitcoin? And he bugged me for a week. If I had bought Bitcoin when he bugged me, it's already doubled since that time. In fact, it's almost tripled since that time. Now, I think it's a little bit of a bubble. So be careful. Buyer beware at this point. Okay. But what's it's a hot, I mean, this is the hottest market. This is like the tulip mania of the 1600s, right? I mean, it is just absolutely insane. So not a lot behind it, but it's absolutely insane. So I started thinking the other day, I was like, hey, what could I do to make, okay, so we're doing this. What other blockchain options are out there? Mike Wieger and I had tried Storj. That's Torj. It's kind of a blockchain storage company, and we've actually don't recommend that. Their software is not working really well. And so we did a review on it, and then we kind of backed off since. But I said, what else is out there? So we were looking at Saia. It's actually running SIA, and they're another blockchain storage company. And, you know, Dwayne and I come from a home server background. I'm always interested in storage and those kinds of things. So I gave it a try. We set it up. Uyghur's doing it as well. And I started thinking and we'll talk about that, Dwayne. We'll talk about Nice Miner here in a second too as well. But with they have a little miner for this Saya coin, and I thought, I'm going to try this out. So I downloaded this GPU, I think I talked about this last show, GPU Shark. And I was running a 650, an NVIDIA GTX 650, and I started mining. Then I started doing a little research, and I'm like, wow, like a 1050 would do a lot better, and a 1060 would, and a 1070 would, and you know, so you start counting cores, and yeah. You're like, stuff I never really even knew about video cards. All of a sudden, I started teaching, or I started learning, right? And so about that time, you pipe in just randomly on Facebook, and I don't even know how we started the conversation, but I think we were talking about this show or something, and I might have mentioned I'd been mining, and you recommended the GTX 1060 card to me. We went back and forth on it, and I was at work when we were doing this, and so we're going back and forth, and so that day you convinced me. I was like, all right, I am joining the world of a semi-real. 1060 is kind of that sweet spot. I'm going to let you talk about that here in just a second. But that 1060, and on the NVIDIA side, and you can use ATI cards too. But that 1060 makes a nice sweet spot in between price point and actually what it can do. So put the card in. I've been mining ever since. I now am the proud owner of about 3,000 Saya coins that we've mined. It's a ton of fun. But Dwayne, you gave me this recommendation on this card. I bought it for about $225 on Amazon. I had a credit out there, so it got it down to just under $200, installed it. By the way, it's super nice to have a really nice video card or a nicer one. But you said perfect price point in between, kind of like, because right now, if you try to buy a 70 or an 80, all the miners are snatching those things up, right?
Oh, try to get a Radeon.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, the ATI cards, the and I forget the numbers on those 480s or 680s.
It's the 970 or something. I can't remember. It doesn't matter because you won't find one. So yeah, you can do all the research you want, and congratulations. If you go on, I think I went looking for them, and you can buy the NVIDIA cards that will outperform them, because we'll get into it, because I think you're starting to learn the financials of mining.
Yeah, because when you think about it, right, you're running a video card. So you show the box there. What do you got? You got got that 1060 box, right?
Yeah, so this is the one I started with, right, which is an EVGA GTX 1060. And the trick here is, notice that this is a 3 gigabyte version, right? Because honestly, the RAM really doesn't have much to do with it, right?
I use that GPU Shark, and it will tell you how much RAM you're consuming. Now, every miner is a little bit different, and so I've heard some Bitcoin miners say it makes a bigger difference more RAM you have. But in the mining I've been doing, I haven't really seen it doesn't take up that much RAM. And there's $100 or so difference between the 3 gig and the 6 gig. So I love that recommendation to stay 3 gig.
Yeah, and so keep that. I think the thing you got to keep in mind is it's all about efficiency and cost. And you got to look at return on investment. And so the question is, how long will it take you to make the $100 back off of the 3 gig to 6 gig version? Now, if you need a 6 gig, we'll get into how, you know, the conversation about how I decided to buy. Oh, okay, here it comes. Are you ready for this, Jim?
Nicely done.
This is the 1070 GTX from MSI. And this one is the 8 gig version of it. And this is a big dog.
Yeah. My friend, that is retailing about almost 700, right?
No, $499. Okay. $499.
Okay. So I must be thinking of the 1080s. So if you go up, they can be six. And what I also found was important is the CUDA core for NVIDIA, right? Number of cores that they have in there, and man, it makes a big jump when we think about those. These are just nice round numbers when we're thinking about that. But the 1050s have like 768, the 1060s have like 1280, the 1070 that you have has 1920 cores in it, and then those 1080s have 256. So you make a pretty nice jump. But it, like you said, and let's talk about this, these come at a power consumption cost. So when you're mining, it's burning some juice, right? And depending on where you live, I'm about 10 cents a kilowatt hour, I think, here in Omaha. What do you think you pay? Are you pretty close?
I can tell you really quick here, because I have a EMC company, right? So the way that they work is a little different than others. Let's see here. They will tell me what the actual.
Yeah, well, Dwayne's looking that up. I actually just went on OPPD as our energy provider, and I went on their website and got an average price.
I am so, I am 8.478 cents per kilowatt hour, which is stupid cheap.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good when you think about that. And so you got to start doing the math on figuring this out. When you did the math originally on the 1060s, and you kind of talked me through that. Give me some ideas of what you were figuring out and how you figured it out.
Okay, so there is a thing you need to buy. If you're going to mine, no question, you got to go buy this. And Jim, that means it's the next thing that you're going to go buy now. So
maybe not, but go ahead. What should I buy?
All right. So, and I sent you a link to this thing in the window, and it is a Belkin Conserve Insight Energy Use Monitor. And what this thing does is you plug it into the power outlet, then you plug your box in on the other side of it, and you can actually real time take a look at what your usage is all the way, and you can plug in your kilowatt hour cost, and it will give you your yearly or monthly run rate of power consumption. You can see the wattage and all that other stuff as well. But this was the trick, because you want to know the most important thing you need to know: how much money am I spending on power? And it's interesting, because you think about this, Jim. I have the 1060 that I've been running, and I have the new 1070, right? And I can actually kind of give you some rough kind of numbers to tell you what the difference is between them whenever it comes to power consumption. And I can tell you the difference in how much you're going to make per day using the mining approach that I do. Because I think am I okay to talk about my miner technology now?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the mining software, so I did a lot of research. I was trying to figure out how to do this. And by no means am I saying that this is the only way to do it. I'm going to tell you this is the easiest way to do it, in my opinion. Because the software that I use is from a company called NiceHash. And they have a piece of software called NiceHash Miner. I gave Jim a link to it so he can put this stuff in the notes. Now, NiceHash Miner is what they do is they give you a piece of software, which is the mining software. And you can grab this. It runs on Windows. And it has some interesting capabilities. Number one is we need to have a conversation about altcoin for a second. Because even you were talking about it, and you were talking about, you know, because everyone, when we talk about this, they think Bitcoin. Well, Bitcoin is one of many cryptocurrencies. It is by far the most popular when you talk about, and it's by far worth the most money. And when I say money, I guess you can't really, it is kind of money. So it is.
It's got value, the best is what I say. It's value
to the US dollar.
Right.
Shall we say one Bitcoin is $4,700 or something right now. So the idea of NiceHash is if you look at a graphics card is a horrible way. It's a great way to basically spend more money in power than you will actually get in Bitcoin. And let me explain why. It's because of the fact that the algorithms are getting harder and harder. So you have to have the amount of power must result in enough efficiency of compute to be able to pay for the power plus the unit plus the cooling and everything else that you're going to need in order to be able to turn a profit. In the world of Bitcoin, we started with CPU. And then they moved to graphics card because they were more efficient. But if you are on Bitcoin and mining actual real Bitcoin, you probably need to be running what's called an ASIC. And they run a fraction of the power. Now, the interesting about an ASIC, because originally I was like, oh, well, Jim, I'm going to buy an ASIC. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to get an Antminer S9. If you haven't seen this thing, it sounds like a jet turbine. Everybody sees them online. It's $2,600. You can get them on Amazon. Oh, my God. If you get this thing, you can heat your house with it. But you won't want to be in your house because it'll sound like you're in a jet. So unless you have a data center or a basement where you can put this thing, which is pretty sound isolating. you know, I think we know somebody that's got a basement with like a soundproof room that could do this. But those devices, their per watt compute will absolutely destroy a video card. It's insane how much they can hash. However, what you need to understand is that they can only do Bitcoin. So what you have is people who are mining Bitcoin, that's what they're doing it with. Now, if you get into things like Ethereum or Litecoin, what you'll find is that ASICs are a compute or programmable processors, and they have basically been built to mine Bitcoin. So if you want to mine something else, and let's say that Bitcoin isn't the best place to be mining, it's a horrible thing to be stuck on an ASIC because you're tied to Bitcoin. So what you see people doing now is doing something called altcoin. Altcoin is an alternative currency. And even though people will say it's Bitcoin, it's like saying Kleenex, right? So what I realized quickly and then canceled my ASIC order was that I actually would rather have a video card that could do double duty and other things that I want to do. So it's useful to be able to do things beyond just mining a Bitcoin. So the trick here with NiceHash is they have an interesting approach. So what they do is they look at all the different altcoins that they could potentially mine. And then they benchmark your hardware as part of the software. And then based upon the benchmark of all the different hashing algorithms that you need and the price of it at that given time and its return, it figures out where's the best investment of your CPU, of your GPU to make sure that you're getting the most efficient and most value for your compute. And they actually are selling it off to people who want to pay to mine it. Now, what they then do is they don't give you the altcoin. They convert that into Bitcoin, just like you can sell a US dollar to buy Bitcoin. They convert it over, and then they pay you in Bitcoin. So this is an interesting approach that you have. Now, it's even got a few pieces of interesting components, like you can set and say, only run when the computer's in idle. It has things like you can say, oh, well, I only want you to run if this profitability level is there. So if you know how much per day you're consuming in power, then you can know how much you could set that setting for so that you are not processing when you're not making money. So for me, I started screwing around with it and I kind of went that route. And then now what's going on is I know the rigs that I have are profitable all the time. So it doesn't really matter, but you don't really know. And again, it goes back to that Belkin thing that we were talking about. If you don't have that, you should not be mining because you don't know if you're making a profit. And while it may be cool, it kind of like, remember the thing we used to do where you were trying to, listen to outer space to find aliens.
Hey, I still do that. It's called SETI. I still do that. Don't make fun of it.
So yes, but the difference is that this is basically kind of like SETI. Yeah, but it is. But it's actually making profit in some ways.
So while you're saying that though, so Mike Weger found a coin. It's called GRC that actually, if you do SETI packets or any on the Bonic or the Boink, I think is the way you pronounce that. So Boink is the software that does all the distributed computing. So the protein folding, the cancer research, the SETI stuff, Boink is this the Berkeley software that they use. You can actually tie the Berkeley software to this GRC coin, and they will give you coin credit for the number of packets that you do for SETI. Now, in joining that pool, I lost, because we've been, you know, I started a Home Gadget Geek SETI group. Nobody joined it. So, you know, but Uyghur said to me, hey, if you're running these SETI packets, you might as well get credit for them. And so you can pick up right now, I'm averaging about a half a GRC coin a day. GRC is about four times the price of the SIA that I'm working on at this point. So it's a little more valuable. And Dwayne, you know, you've said profitability and some of those things a couple times. There is the option, or there is a possibility, if you're, as you're mining coin today, those coins will grow in value over time. And so you may mine them at a loss if you sold them today. But if you buy them and hold them, like Bitcoin, they could be, your mileage might vary, and I'm making no, you know, future, like future returns or not.
These are not the coins that you seek.
So don't quote me on this, but there are some interesting, you know, for me, one, it was just it was an interesting and a fun technology computer science thing to learn about all this mining. So for me, so far, I've spent a whole $30 besides the video card. I spent $200 on the video card. I spent $30 because I needed to buy some of the SIA coin to get the storage piece working. So I'm in $30 and I've had a ton of fun, and it's been really cool. Mike and I, Uyghur and I have been talking just about every night on these, like, hey, have you tried that? Have you tried that? And there's a bunch of cool technology around it. And I really like that NiceHash software. It's super easy to use. The UI is spectacular on it. And so if you've got a pretty nice video card sitting around and you're not doing anything with it, Dwayne, I like your recommendation. That NiceHash paired with your probably a 1050 and above, I would say. Otherwise, you're probably not going to make a lot on that. But when I was out in California seeing my son, Tim, he has a gaming box. I said, dude, you're in a barracks. You don't pay for power. You ought to think about this, right?
I would put like six video cards in that bad boy.
And so he's running a NiceHash, and he's like he started at about $1.30 a day, and now he's making almost $2 a day. Now you're like, okay, Jim, $2 a day. I'm seriously, $60 a month. Well, $60 works out to be about almost $700. When we think about it over a year, that's not, there's a lot worse.
Video card.
Yeah. There's a lot worse things. I mean, there's sharp sticks in your eye. So it's an interesting, but Dwayne, I appreciate the recommendation. So thank you for doing that. That really kind of set me. And then when I was out in California, of course, I let my PC run, let the rig run. I'm mining the SIA coin. I did about 600 coins while, now that coin isn't even worth a penny yet. So, you know, you go, yeah, but if it makes it to a dollar at some point, okay. There's, you know, you never know. And it's just
power of percentage of increase.
It really is at that point. By the way, there, I don't know, have you done Bittrex or Poloniex? The there's these big exchanges that have grown, or I had no idea until I got into this, that where you can buy and sell and trade these altcoins, and it's exactly what people are trying to do now, right? They're trying to buy ones low, sell them high. There's a crazy market around this.
It's like a very volatile stock market.
Oh, so, it's penny. These are junk stocks. These are junk bonds from the 80s. That's exactly what this is, yep. Right? This is that penny stocks.
So Jim, let me back up for a second. So let me explain why in the heck got into this thing. So if you know much about connected vehicle, think about the fact that when you get into autonomous vehicle, you have to have a way to have like the little black box they have in an airplane where no one can say, like if a Tesla crashes, for example, and it was autonomous and you want to prove that the car didn't do something that it wasn't supposed to do, then and you start looking at other things like stock market and stuff like that. What you hear is blockchain, everything. I mean, even us, we're in Microsoft, we're building out blockchain capabilities within Azure. So if you start researching blockchain, you're going to end up in a conversation or in some sort of form, you're going to end up with a discussion about Bitcoin, because it's the go-to, this is where blockchain really actually saw its beginnings, right? And just to explain what blockchain is in a layman's terms, please do not Twitter me explaining how stupid I am. I'm just going to generalize it. It is a distributed ledger. Everyone writes to a copy, their own copy of the ledger, and we all agree that what you're saying is good. And so, and if there's a disagreement, we vote and it wins. So basically what you end up with is a ledger that you, even if you edited your copy to try to fake a transaction, you would have to do it to all of the different systems. Now there's different ones, there's private and public and all these different things. Like Ethereum can be done private or public, Bitcoin, and it can't, right? And so if you start looking at these different things, that's kind of the whole interesting thing and why I started in this thing. And so because I was just like, okay, I'm going to screw around with this just to figure out how to play with it, I went and bought one of those razor blade stealths with the little razor core thing as my machine because I had been wanting to build a VR rig, which we'll get to later. And I could never get the core to work. After 3.5 months, Razer finally said, yeah, we give up too, just send the thing back. And I sent it back. But what I couldn't send back after 3.5 months was the 1060 video card that I bought to plug into the core. So I had it sitting right back here behind me for about a couple months. And when I started doing the research on blockchain and I got into Bitcoin, I was like, I'm just going to try to get this to work just to have fun with it. It just to be a nerd. And I went and I grabbed this old gateway box that's sitting down here on the floor behind me and opened it up. And sure as heck, it had a slot for a graphics card that I could plug it into. So it's like a little i3 box that I used to use back in the day as a little server, like a home server. And I plug this thing in because it doesn't matter about the CPU, Jim. It doesn't matter. Matter of fact, an i3 is wonderful because it doesn't use a lot of power. So I took it, I threw an SSD, old spare SSD, like 128 gig SSD in the thing, booted it up, ran Windows 10 on it, went and started installing different ways. And then I found NiceHash, put it on this thing. Jim, would you like to know? Here, I can slide over here.
Yeah.
I can tell you real time right now that I'm making $1.51 off of that 1060 per day. That varies between about anywhere from $1.11 to about $1.60 a day. And what I'm consuming right now in a month is $6.86. So if you do the math on that, you can see kind of where you're going to be making profit. Now, there is another thing that I have found. I had to put one of those USB fans that you can buy and turn that thing and bend the arm back to blow some air into that case because I don't want to hear the fan spin up on the graphics card over there. But yeah, that thing will get hot pretty bad. So that's one thing you do have to worry about. I will say that it is quite warm in my room right now because I have the door shut. Yeah. And between that machine and and what we will call the beast machine for VR, it'll produce some heat.
Yeah. So I'm thinking in the winter, that's to my advantage, right? I mean, I actually think as we head into winter, that'll throw off some heat in the house. That'll mean I have to burn less gas, and you know, natural gas is what we use here. But so, Dwayne, let's just do the math really quick. So let's just say you said $1.11 to $1.50, right? And it could be even a little bit more. So
let's just say 1.25. So yeah, 1.25
times 30 cents. I mean, times 30 days, right?
Yeah, so times 30. So I got a calculator here.
So what are we up to?
$37.50.
Take off $6, right, for the power.
And let's actually be worse than that. Let's say that it goes up a little bit in cost. So let's say $7.
Okay.
So you take away the $7 and I'm netting $30.50 a month on a card that was sitting back here that didn't do anything. And I've been running it for 2 months. So it's $60.
If you bought the card, you'd pay $300. Let's just say it's less than that, $250.
Yeah, two
or 9 months, it's paid for, right? And then for me, I use the card. I shut the miners off when I'm producing Home Gadget Geeks. I shut the, which I haven't done on this new card yet. So I'm interested to know how fast, how much faster the video is going to render, which is great. Cause I went from a 960 to a, and I'm sorry, I went from a nine, was it a 960 or was it a 940? I went from, I'm sorry, it was a 650. It was
even more. Looking up in the air.
Yeah. So that's where my boxes are.
They're up there. they're attached to the skis right up there.
Right up there on top of the skis. So it was a 650, which not very, I mean, I think, when I looked at the cores on a 650, it's like, 384 versus what I put in there is 1280, right? So I got like a 4x lift anytime I'm processing video. I'm expecting some pretty nice changes. So for me, it's going to make editing Home Gadget Geeks and Cyber Frontiers videos a lot faster. And so I shut the miners down. I edit. I do my business, then I turn them back on.
Yeah. So I think that goes into the advice that I gave you that you said you liked, right? So let's talk about that. The reality is you will not, okay, maybe, most likely not, you're not going to get rich off of Bitcoin mining. Okay. So let's just throw that little tidbit out there, right? Are you going to make enough to quit your job? No, you're not going to.
Probably not.
Okay. Are you a nerd?
Yes.
Okay. Definitely. There you go. So you're not, yeah, I'm right here with you, Jim. So we have a habit, right? And it needs to be fed. And any way that I can make my habit just offset, you know, offset the cost so that my wife doesn't shoot me in the skull, is a good thing. So if you think about it, let's go into the second machine that I built, Jim, which is I started thinking about what I was doing over here, this little machine that's over in the corner that's making $30.50 a month. And I started thinking about, oh, well, I've been wanting to build that VR machine. Again, go back to the razor blade that I sent back. Well, when I sent it back, just real quick, what I did buy and to replace it, Surface laptop, and notice it's blue. So that means, you know, I didn't get the most powerful one. The quick review on that is favorite Surface ever.
Really?
So we'll talk about that later.
Maybe we may not have time.
But what I wanted was I wanted my VR machine. And that's what I've been wanting to do, and a gaming machine. But the video card that this video card, Jim, is 500 smackaroos. And so that is a pretty darn expensive investment. So what I started looking at is, okay, maybe what I could do is let it run to offset the cost of the card. And I started doing a price calculation on when would that card return enough profit to buy another one at that price point. Interestingly enough, that card.
And that card again is what? It's a 10.
It's a 10, a GTX 1070 from MSI, 8 gig.
Yep.
And it's the Gaming X version.
Yep. VR ready.
And yeah, completely VR ready. This thing will run VR without a hitch. 1080. Yeah, not really a good, not a good thing. Sorry, yeah, something's making noise. What I did with this thing is I basically said, okay, let me figure out, could I just offset the cost to be able to feed the habit? Because guess what you can buy with Bitcoin real easy? More video cards. You can buy them on Newegg.
And oh, really?
Yeah, oh, Newegg accepts Bitcoin.
Oh,
so now, Jim, it's evil, Jim.
Interesting.
Evil. So you start looking at this and you're going, okay, well, let the card do the work when I'm not using it, which is a majority of the time. I'm not in my VR helmet all the time. If you use NiceHash, what I was also testing is, can you still like use your computer and surf the web? Actually, I don't have a problem with it, even without turning on the idle version. Now there is a little trick to NiceHash that I have found, which is that the software sometimes, depending on your your home situation, you might have to VPN in. So I use the private tunnels thing that I have anyway, so that whenever I'm in Europe, I can watch videos here. So, and by the way, that's like $29 a year for three simultaneous connections. So I just installed that. And then when you VPN in through it, you won't have a problem. So if you notice that you're getting like a 0% hash, you can't seem to connect to the hash providers, a little VPN client will take care of that for you real quick. So if you look at it and you say, well, I said, Jim, why don't I just go and not think of this as trying to make profit, but think of this as making it where I get a free video card in my computer. And if the calculations on this one is correct, it will have an eight month return. Mm-hmm. And that means in 8 months, which if you think about it, if you buy a 1070 GTX, probably in about 8 months, if I wanted to stay in that level, the 1080s will come down in price and you'll be able to go 1080. And then your compute goes up. You buy when the compute is good and the right pricing. It then is a profitable thing, and then you could just continue to roll through video cards. So think of it that this one pays for itself or pays for the next, for the 1080. I pull the 1080 out of this machine, stick it in the other machine, the 1070 in the other machine, and continue a rotation of making money. And right now between the two, I'm at about $75 a month in profit. So how long will it, in that calculation, Jim, will it take me to get to $500 to buy another video card? And that's the way I'm kind of looking at it. Not to mention the machine I'm in right now, if I decide to, I could go to multiple video cards, and you don't have to have Crossfire support. You don't have to do SLI or anything like that. These cards aren't running graphics when they're doing it. They're just a processor. They don't even need the fastest bus on the motherboard. A lot of people are actually buying these little cards that go inside, the PCI Express cards that have like USB 3 connections that have risers. Yep. And they're putting like 8 graphics cards in, and it's not to run the graphics, it's to make the miners. Have you seen the open air cases that they
have? I have. They look really cool. Yeah, they just stack the video card, just stack on the top.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm thinking will be the next move for me, is I'll move to a situation because they don't need to be the same video card in the machine. And so I can just put them into an array of all the old video cards as they make money, and then I will buy another one. And while, yeah, am I going to get rich? No, I'm not going to get rich. All I'm going to do is make it really hot in my office, which is why these things are transitioning to the guest room. However, I will have a VR rig that is kick butt, and it'll cost me a lot less money.
Yeah. See, I think that's the real key, right? Is that you're also building this for VR. And so you get some really good, this allows you to kind of be on the top. I think VR is one of those spaces that's still expanding with equipment. In other words, we don't have the best equipment. You know, today, the standard processor, Core i7, they're not that much different today than they were 5 years ago, right? There's some minor improvements to them. It's not like we're making massive leaps like we used to.
Yep.
Not true, or not necessarily the case with video, and not necessarily the case with VR. And so this gives you the chance to kind of leap, you know, kind of stay with that. I want to move to that, but before we do, these ASIC miners, I'm hearing about them actually. They have them for Bitcoin. By the way, the other reason it's not great to be a Bitcoin miner is because the Chinese and the Russians have this wrapped up. There's huge farms that are doing this right now. And the average consumer in America is not going to compete with them. Bitcoin is still a winner takes all, and everybody's competing to solve the math on that equation. And so chances of you getting a coin and getting paid for it, you don't just get paid because you mine a coin. You get paid when you solve the equation. Then you get the coin, right? Well, some of the other technologies, I mentioned this GRC and Saya both have pools, and you can jump in a pool. This is what's nice about it. You can jump in these pools and become a part of the collective. You don't make as much, but you will make a little bits every day. And this is what NiceHash is working off of Tool. You're in a big, gigantic pool that is doing this. And so it kind of works. You don't have to have, you can have a small piece of equipment and still participate in this exercise. And so it's not for everybody, but Dwayne, I love, I was going to say, the other thing is be careful as we think about buying more and more equipment. there may be more and more of these ASIC miners that are built specifically for these altcoins that will replace. Once they come, there's no way you're going to be able to keep up with them unless you're buying one of those. And most people aren't. So be careful. I've seen a lot of guys buying 8 and 16 GPU miners. And that's a significant investment. I mean, that's $600 a card times 8 times a motherboard plus the energy. That's significant. If these ASIC things come along and replace this, there's going to be some problems. So just know what you're doing before you jump in. Having one or two cards, though, a ton of fun. And I encourage you to jump in if you have questions. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Oh, go ahead.
I think one thing we didn't talk about that we should talk about is a wallet. Hmm. So I will tell you what I'm doing. So NiceHash offers a wallet. And so, however, in the research I did, Coinbase is a really popular wallet. So think of it that you have to have, think of it kind of like your bank account or your trading account's a better way to think of it. It's like having a brokerage account. And what you have to, it doesn't matter if people get your number, because that's not how it actually works from a transaction standpoint. That just means you can deposit Bitcoin. So it'll give you like this address, which is a whole bunch of numbers and stuff. And don't lose that because you need it. And NiceHash will deposit into Coinbase. It'll deposit any wallet that you want. But know that NiceHash offers their own wallet. And they, of course, want you to use their wallet. Because when you do the transaction to switch it between a coin type, let's say an altcoin or a coin to US dollars, there is just like a trading fee on the stock market. You have a trading fee that happens there. So they are going to make money off of this, right? So NiceHash does it where they deposit the coin quicker. You have to mine to get enough credit before they'll actually do a deposit, and they do it more frequently and at lower levels if you use their wallet. And Coinbase, that you can use Coinbase, but you'll get paid less frequently, and you will have to earn more coin before they will make the deposit on the timeframes. Let me tell you one little tidbit, though. You have to get to, and I know this is going to sound like it's not much, but it actually is, Jim, if you're familiar with it, you'll know what I mean. You have to get to 0.002 Bitcoin for NiceHash to allow you to do a withdrawal. So if you're doing this with one video card, you got a while before you're going to be, even though you'll see it coming in, you got a little while before you're actually going to be able to pull this out. So don't think of it that I'm going to jump in and pull six, you know, like I'm not going to get a dollar every day because it costs me more than a dollar to do the trade. So keep in mind that as well. So I think you made the comment that it's going up in value and things like that. So if you are right, if you are mining at a profit, okay, that means you're buying Bitcoin for less. The way I look at it, you're buying Bitcoin for less than what it would cost you if you paid for it in dollars. So now you're only getting it, you're kind of a trickle. You could go spend $100 and get more Bitcoin than doing this for a while. You know, it takes like 3 months to do it. But I look at it as I'm buying Bitcoin at a discount and Bitcoin is going up in value. And the combination of the two results in a pretty decent return on your money. But buyer beware is volatile. And if it blew up tomorrow, I would have a VR machine that some of the cost got offset. And I think that's the key where you and I ended up landing on this. And I think that's where you were like, oh, wow, I didn't think of it that way. And that's kind of where my mind went, is if I can just make it offset it, because I will stop running my NiceHash on something just as soon as it's not profitable or it's not worth the heat in the room. But, you know, hey, it's not bad. But again, key things I think out of this discussion: monitor your power usage so you know when you're profitable and when you're not, so you're not just making a hot house for no reason. Second thing is pick a good wallet. Make sure you understand the rules. Pick your mining software and make sure that you think about what you're mining. And probably, unless you're going to be in ASICs, you probably aren't going to actually try to figure out how to mine Bitcoin. You're going to mine altcoin. If you kind of follow those rules and you go about it, I think you'll be in a good spot. There's probably low risk. You can stop at any time that if you don't like it, but your biggest risk is going to be how much money you spend up front on your rig. But I will tell you, if you have an old machine laying around and you want to screw around with it and you only got, you've got the $225 to buy the 1060, throw it in there and have fun with it. I mean, most likely it's going to cover its cost in about 3 to 4 months, is what you're talking about. Maybe a little more, maybe like 6, just because it's not quite as efficient. But one other piece to keep in mind as well is that the complexity changes based upon the number of people mining. And so the more miners going after the Bitcoin or going after the altcoin, the harder the algorithm gets to be able to solve. And so as the technology evolves and you have more miners coming on, it becomes harder to get it. So you can't buy a 1060 and expect the return on a 1060 today to be equivalent to it at the end of the year. It's going to get harder and it's going to get less profitable. And you will know, that's the reason when Jim and I were saying that it may range between $1.11 and $1.52. The reason it's changing is because of exchange rates. And it's also changing because of the fact that the algorithms are getting harder that it's working toward. Now, I've actually seen it fluctuate back and forth, and it can be very volatile on it. But that's the beauty of NiceHash. It will monitor all of the currencies and choose the right one for you.
It
solves that problem.
So, Dwayne, say I start with NiceHash tonight, and I let it run, and I'm going to let it run for a week. Do you know how often does it do that calculation to kind of determine do you know how often that's going on? Or does it just pick one and then go until you tell it to stop? Do you know how that works?
Oh no, it checks and it changes. I don't know how often it's doing it, but it seems like it sets itself up to mine for a certain period of time. And then it has a time period where it's updating the rates and it will shift you to the right coin. You can go to VED and it'll be mining one thing and it'll switch over. I don't know how real time they do that. I imagine it has to do with your finishing up the blocks that it's given you, and then it turns around and you move over to a different one. I think it registers then and says, hey, I'm going to mine this for a certain period of time.
So super, super interesting. If you want to jump in on this, of course, Dwayne and I will love to talk about it with you if you're interested in having some of those kinds of conversations. Dwayne, tons of fun. I appreciate the tip that day. That kind of pushed me over the edge, and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go with the 1060. I got the ASUS version. I think that's the one that I got. I picked it up on Amazon. I think it was $225 when I picked it up. That is a sweet spot because the miners don't want those. But the 1060s are equally VR ready. And so when we think about VR, you got some gear. Let's spend a few minutes rolling through. We don't have a ton of time left, but let's spend some time rolling through what you got and what you're doing with it.
Yeah. Okay. So the first thing that pushed me over the edge, I was doing the mining and then I said, okay, I'm going to pull the trigger on a VR rig. Okay. Because I had figured out a way to offset the cost. So one of the things that I did is I went out and I got the new developer edition headset that you can get at the Microsoft store. This headset is $299, which I think is the cheapest headset.
That's the Acer version?
Yeah, it's the Acer. It's the one that you go there and it's blue. It's $299, Acer Windows Mixed Reality Headset Developer Edition. So this is the new spec. So Microsoft gave out, here is a spec to Windows Mixed Reality headsets to different vendors. And so if you look at all the different ones that are out that just kind of came out, what you'll result in is right now there's this one, the HP Windows version, and there's a whole bunch of more that are coming. Now, the HP version of this is $329. So they're kind of like all around $300. And what I would tell you is it's surprisingly amazing. Couple of things about it. These headsets are kind of more like the Vive. And if you notice in this corner here, Jim, you'll see that it's got a sensor, and it's got a sensor on the other side. So there's two different types of VR you need to be aware of if you get into this VR world. One is full room VR, and the other is just headset VR. So headset VR means that you can sit in a chair and it tracks your head movement so that you can look around. Notice, there you go.
For those of you on audio, left, he was right. Moving his head around.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm talking about it and I'm moving my head like as
if with a headset on, so you can't even tell that you're moving.
Yeah, yeah. But in real world, it kind of is the same as in it. So what's interesting is these headsets that are $299, let's be clear, these are full room VR. So the sensors on it mean that it can see the walls and things around you so that it can actually see the room. And you, when you walk in real life, you're walking in virtual world. So moving around the room actually moves you in the virtual space, not just you looking up and down, left and right, which is really, really neat whenever you go do this. Resolution on these systems are not as good as, say, the Oculus Rift. What you're looking at on these, I think it's right here, 1440 by 1440 times two. You've got to kind of think of it from that perspective. And the refresh rate's 90 hertz native, which you want a high refresh rate. So all of them are going to have that. There is no lag in this thing. It is absolutely awesome and it's amazing. I put this on my daughter and she like refused to take it back off. And then I had my mother-in-law come over and she sits in the chair, and the way it looks, if you haven't played with the Windows version, is it puts you in like a virtual house, and you can go to one side of the house and go see like the beach, and it's like a cliff, and it's just really, really cool looking with water and everything. And then you can go to the other side of the house and see, of course you can see Mount Rainier, and then you can go into all these different rooms, and they have apps all over the place. And it's even got the concept of spatial sound, so that when you get closer to the music player, it gets it gets louder, or you can hear it behind you and stuff like that. Now, this does not have headphones. It's got a headphone plug on it up here, but all in all, it's so really
you
good.
You supply your own earbuds? Is that what you do?
Yeah, you can put earbuds in, or you can take like a over the air ear headphones and stuff like that. Depends on, you know, what your preference is.
Bluetooth? So could I connect those to Bluetooth headset?
No, this one has got a headphone jack that's inside over here. Yeah. I would assume that there might be a way to put Bluetooth connected to the computer that it's doing and do it. I haven't played with that, but it's just an audio out anyway. Yep. So the thing is that once you put this thing on, it'll be good. Now, there is a little tidbit of news for you. If you're going VR, know that these things connect to generally a USB connection and an HDMI.
Hold that up to the camera. There we go.
So know that the cables that come on this, depending on where your VR rig is, you may need to buy extension cables. And you can get them on Amazon. There's nothing special about them. Just get yourself a good long set of cables, but you need both. And in this room, I can walk all the way. I don't know if you can see the TV back here behind me. I can literally walk this whole space with this, with my machine that's right under.
How long are those cables that come with it? About 6 feet, maybe?
Oh, no, they're longer than that. They're probably 10 or so, maybe a little more. But here's something that's interesting about this. So this is a developer edition, right? So developer edition of this requires a desktop NVIDIA GTX 980 or a 1060. And or an AMD Radeon RX 480, which I think is the one that's almost impossible to find because of Bitcoin mining, and or better. And so those are what you're going to have. DirectX 12 is another thing. And so you just need to be aware that this particular headset requires a beast of a graphics card to be able to run. And I believe that's mainly because of the developer edition component of it to be able to do it. Now, the other thing that you got to have is, let's talk about processor. Okay, Jim, this is where it got really fun. You have to have an Intel desktop i7 6 plus core or an AMD Ryzen 7 1700 8 core with 16 threads. To get to this, you're going to need to go with a Core i7 X series. The one I bought was the i7-7800X, which is 6 cores at 3.5 gigahertz multi-threaded, so it'll show up as 12. It's got a 8.25 megabyte cache, and be aware that it is an LGA 2066 slot, not your normal slot. So you got to have the special motherboard. So I gave Jim all the specs for the whole gaming rig that I've got. So you guys can take a look at that Asus motherboard. It is the X299-A. It's a Prime, Asus Prime X299-A. And I put it in that Razer case, and I have M.2 storage, 512 gigs with a 1 terabyte SSD. I know the sound, you listen to this and you're like, holy crap, that's probably a very powerful computer. Yes, it is. You're going to need it because the last thing you want is lag when you're in a VR setting. That will make you sick and not a happy camper. So could you get away with a 1060? Yes, that's your minimum spec for VR at this point. Don't go below a 1060, in my opinion. Okay, now here's the bad news. You ready for it?
Yep. Lay down.
Do not buy this headset right now. This headset is a developer edition. You will be walking around a room, pinning apps to the wall. Now, my mother-in-law loved being able to put a web browser up and basically sit on the beach and surf the web. But that's what you're going to do with this. If you want to play a game, you need to buy something different. So, Jim, at the just weeks after buying the other headset and I have the machine, something that actually requires less power to run but gives you better resolution and has more stuff is this, which is an Oculus Rift. Now, this is the, if you notice, the Oculus Rift has headphones built into it, so you don't have to do that. Now, you can push them back, and there's earbuds and stuff like and everything with it. It's much more comfortable than, because like the nose piece can go up and down and it adjusts to your eyes a little better. And it also has things like when you put it on, it'll just automatically crank up the VR experience. So you don't even have to launch the app. So because it has a sensor inside of it, I don't know if you can see that little light that's glowing in there, that's amber. It'll turn white when it launches the application, and it has a sensor right above, right next to that, to see that you, just like the sensor that you put when you put the phone to your ear, proximity sensor, it does that. Now, understand that there's a lot of debate between the Vive and the Oculus Rift. So let me tell you how this whole thing
went. Before you do that, how much for the Oculus?
That's part of the story.
Okay, all right.
So understand that when you go through, you need to start looking. You start looking and saying, okay, what is the content that's available for each of them? Because Oculus Rift versus HTC Vive is like saying PlayStation 4 against Xbox One. Okay, there are religious people about this. Get away from the voice of craziness unless you are one of those religious people, in which I think your decision is the best decision you've ever made. And understand that there's a couple of things. There is, number one is the Oculus Rift does not have full room VR in the headset. It is just a VR headset. And that's where it started, and that's great. As far as the how good is the video quality, people will argue over this, but they're basically the same between the two. Where you run into it is the Oculus Rift weighs less because of the fact that it doesn't have all the sensors in it, but it also doesn't have the little camera on it so that you can see everything that's outside of the VR when you turn the thing off. I don't find that to be a problem. The other thing, Oculus Rift, because there aren't sensors all over it to do full room VR, you have to have these little sensors that sit on your desk. And I don't know. Here, Jim, I can show you one. It looks like that. It looks like a little T.
So what? So hold right on. There. Let me put you in full screen there so we can see that. Okay, there you go. So,
and what will happen in that case is when you have these, you have to, it comes, okay, so the new Oculus Rift package comes with the handset controllers, and it comes with two of those sensors. Now, I have another one of those sensors that I bought. It's $60 to get one. It's $59, and it's back here in the back. And that gives you the ability for it to not just see left and right, but imagine if I'm spinning in circles in full room, I might block one of the sensors with my back. So this makes it where you get full room tracking that's much better. I would recommend the $60. You don't have to have it up front. Trust me, if you buy this thing and you're kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to like it or whatever, you're going to love it. But in the end, I'm actually going to go to a fourth one and put it back over here so it has 100% coverage and you don't have to worry about, you can turn, twist, do whatever you want. Now, with that said, the cables are short. They're shorter than the other one. So you need to make sure you buy the extension cables for an Oculus Rift. Now, the controllers look like this. They're like a circle and everything. Now, the controllers come with the current package for the Oculus Rift, and the controllers come with the HTC Vive. So let's net this back. HTC Vive, full room VR built right into the headset. So if you're right out of the box and you want to put it on and you don't want to worry about putting the sensors in your room, Vive might be the way you want to go. Know that the Vive weighs more. It's going to be less comfortable because of that over time. But in the end, they're virtually the same. Content is basically the same between the two at this point. And you can't go wrong because most content providers will do just like they do with PlayStation and Xbox. You will have some titles that only go one or the other, but for the most part, most major things are going to be everywhere. Now, let's go into the controllers. The controllers on the Oculus Rift are newer. They came out. They're actually late to market, to be honest with you. But they're late to market, but way better because they have capacitive buttons on them. So these little buttons that are on them from the grip to the finger triggers to even the buttons up here are capacitive. Now, what does that mean? Because I didn't understand this. I could not understand what people meant by this. I just heard that the controllers were better. And the answer is you see your hands. And because when your finger rests on the buttons and it's capacitive, it knows that your finger's there. So it can, in the virtual space, you can actually see that your hand is on the A button or the B button, or you can point, or you can make a fist. These are things that in the HTC side that the buttons aren't capacitive. So this feels like your hands, where the other feels like you're holding something more. And I read up on that and I saw some videos on it. And I actually was convinced I was going to get a Vive. So, Jim, why did I buy an Oculus Rift?
Why did you buy an Oculus Rift?
You said it before. Money.
Cost.
At the time that I was evaluating it, about 2 weeks before I think I pulled the trigger, if you haven't kept up with it, Oculus Rift was bought by Facebook. Which, by the way, you can actually go into Facebook on it, and it's a really weird experience. Like, you grab videos and just stick it on your face, and it's in 3D. It's crazy. I'm just telling you guys. We'll get into how cool it is in a minute. It is like $799 for a HTC Vive setup. Oculus Rift dropped their price to $399. That means it is $100 more for an Oculus Rift, which has higher resolution, lower requirements, more content, has hand controllers that are capacitive, that are amazing, and two full room VR sensors for $100 more than this. And it's just crazy amazingly good. So the reason comes down to straight financials. You can buy two Oculus Rifts for one HTC Vive.
Wow. Yeah, so, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I put links to all of the stuff I have. So if you're interested in it or anything, you can actually ping me on Twitter, Dwayne76, D-W-A-I-N, 76. If you got some questions about it or whatever, you can just ping me there. I will only talk technology on that, and I don't post a lot. So even if you follow me, I tend to be a quiet Twitterer person. But when I post stuff, it's generally around IT. So
good one to follow.
Yeah. So what I will tell you, kind of having it for a while, I don't know the last time I bought something that I like this much. Because here's where you get Jim, and Jim, you're going to buy this. You have the video card.
I do.
So at this point, we've got everyone together, Jim. You need to buy an Oculus Rift. The reason behind it is, Jim, is that you cannot explain it. I talked to a friend of mine because he had an Oculus Rift and he's had one for a long time. And I said, hey, man, I'm trying to make the decision. And he and I went back and forth and he's like, you really can't make a bad decision in this. Both are good options. Just figure out what you want and what you're good with. And we had some conversation back and forth. I pulled the trigger, got it. And I even bought it on Amazon so I could send it back if it wasn't something that I was convinced in. And Jim, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to buy it on Amazon because I know how you are. You're like, you have commitment issues when it comes to technology sometimes. They have a liberal return policy. Therefore, if you aren't convinced by the time you put the thing on your head, which you will be before the demo is over, and then it is impossible to explain. He was trying to explain it to me, and he was explaining something to me that I actually experienced, which is you are sitting like one of the things that's in it is like a Disney thing. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to go into this Disney thing. And it's like 3D movies and stuff. And you're standing in front of the castle and you can see this thing and you just point and fire off and what you want to fire. And the first thing you see is like, you know, Jiminy Cricket and Mickey Mouse and all and Toy Story. And you're like, oh, those are really cool. And then I looked over to the right and I was like, oh, Marvel's coming soon. And then I'm like, oh, I wonder what's to my left. And it says Lucasfilm. I can't tell you how quick I was in an X-Wing fighter after that, but it was pretty darn quick. Once you're in it, it started to like, I was standing up and I'm watching this, but in it, when you look down, you're sitting in an X-Wing and the thing starts moving and turning. And I was like, oh, I can feel myself leaning in real life, but I'm not. And my eyes tell me I'm sitting, but I'm standing. And like my friend was saying, you will be playing a game and you'll see your legs and you'll forget, because it's so immersive, you'll forget that you actually have your legs crossed and your legs will go numb. And it's like, it's really, really crazy. Someone just asked about the CPU requirements. I don't think you have to have anything more than like an i7. You can take a look at it. Believe it or not, VR requirements, because processors aren't really the key. You got to have an i7, a decent processor, but I don't think it's really that heavy.
Yeah, they're like mining in a lot of ways. This is interesting because they are using GPU.
Yeah, and it's the weird part is, and the reason that it takes so much. I'm looking here to see what they say as the minimum requirements on it. I don't even see it. It's the refresh rate. You got two screens that are fairly high resolution. And you got to run both of them at such a low latency that when you turn your head, that there is no stutter. And that's kind of the key. If you can get to there, you're good to go. I, again, cannot tell you there's many times in my life that I've went and like called every friend that I know and been like, you must go buy this. And you cannot, I understand you got to go buy a computer. You're spending $1,200 tomorrow on a computer. And by the way, somebody asked me, they said, if you don't want to build your own computer, you just don't feel you're that person. I know that there's tons of those people listening to this, but anyway, a couple of my friends, they're geeks, but they just don't have time to go build the computer and do the research. So you can go to like Alienware and get like a 0% interest on one for like $11.99, I think is the bottom end one. I'd probably recommend that you go up to like about a $1,400 version of Alienware. But you're going to be able to run that. And it's actually funny because think of it, Jim, we're at a point, if you think about how much of a beast of a machine, like $4,000 type of machine to run VR just a couple years ago, we're actually at a point where the video card technology has accelerated to a point where a $220 video card can run a full VR experience for people and for an accessory. So if you've got an old i7, you're probably a video card away. And then you add in what we talked about earlier about mining to help offset the cost of that card. You're actually maybe free. And all you got to do is buy the Oculus.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the,
you're going to bring that Oculus to the meetup, to the last meetup ever, September 30th.
If I can make it out to this, I will bring the Godzilla computer down here. And I will bring the full set of sensors with the Oculus Rift, and I will bring the Windows Mixed Reality headset with me. The only question is going to be if I can fit this. I'm not going to bring this big ultra-wide curve monitor, though. I'll have to bring one of these little cheesy monitors.
Dave will have a monitor for you. You bring all that stuff, McCabe will bring a monitor out for you.
But McCabe won't bring me one that's got got the right connection. He'll bring you SVGA.
We're at a Microsoft office.
He'll be like,
we're at a Microsoft office. We should be able to steal one off their display. Don't you think?
The interesting thing would be that I think you guys would get an absolute kick to see what's called the screen door effect. To explain the screen door effect inside of virtual reality is, you know, a lot of people talk about mixed reality because we've done a lot of that with HoloLens. And by the way, I've actually wore a HoloLens now. It is actually pretty cool. I think if you guys listen to Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, I do that. I think they're a little harsh on how small the screen is because it's on top of your face and it's like saying I put a 50-inch screen right in front of me, and sure, you can tell, but it's not as bad as they make it sound. But it's still, it's not as immersive. I will tell you, it's not as immersive. When you take the VR piece and you start looking at it, it is a whole new thing. But when you want to map the room, because you don't want to run into something in real life while you're in virtual reality, you'll hurt yourself in reality. So oddly enough, the way it works is you'll take the controller or you'll take the headset in the case of the Microsoft one, and you walk the perimeter of the room, and it will map that part of the room and in any shape that you have. And then it will optimize it and tell you this is the place you should stand. And there will be, in the virtual reality, there will be a circle on the floor that will tell you where to start from. And if you walk to a point where you're going to hit something, it's what they call the screen door, which you can see through it, but it's like, I mean, you can like put your finger through it. It feel, you know, and what it is it's the perimeter that's telling you, and it only shows up and becomes visible as you get closer. And the closer you get to that perimeter, the more visible it becomes. So Jim, I have a story for you. This is my funny story. So one night I'm sitting and I'm like, you know what? I had it for like weeks and I could never actually get myself to play a game because even just drawing in 3D, I know this sounds so stupid. It's like paint in 3D and you're thinking I'm talking about the experience like making 3D stuff in 3D paint on a 2D screen. I really get the vision of the 3D paint. I think if you get VR and you start playing with it, you'll be like, oh, okay, I get why this is kind of a thing. This is why I believe like Paul Thurrott doesn't understand that in his paint 3D complaints that on his little thing. But if you experience it in VR, a 3D paint system, you'll actually play in that for hours. The first time I put it on, I was doing the demo. An hour later, I pulled it off and it was like, oh my God, I've been in this thing for an hour. So what is interesting about it though, is I decided I'm gonna play a game. So I go sit in the center of the play space, And I'm playing this game where you can teleport around and you can shoot these robots. And it's weird because you can grab the guns from down here to get your pistols. And then you reach over and grab your shotgun down and you can be double fisting, like, you know, and shooting these robots and everything. And when they shoot you in real world, you can move and dodge the bullets. And so one of these robots was jumped at me and I'm like, oh my God, there he is. And so I dodged the bullets and whacked myself in the head on this cabinet right over here because it was so quick that I did it that I didn't see the screen door. And so be careful, boys and girls, you need a white padded room.
That's why the holodeck on Star Trek is so big.
Oh, you know what? The screen door looks like the holodeck.
Yeah, I bet it does. It's got those little lines and yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to define what it looks like.
Yeah, you almost do need a room in some, and you know, if you're going to play, we were playing, I was, my interns had a party this summer and I went to it and, somebody brought the Oculus and they were playing. We have a really tall guy who was playing and he put his hand up to do something and smacked his hand on the roof. It was a shorter roof, but he just smashed his hand against it. So it can be so immersive, you know, you kind of lose track of where you're at. So,
very cool. Don't make yourself sick with Google Earth.
Glasses friendly?
So that's a good question. So there's a little bit of trick. So let me show you a little something about it. So can you see it pretty well here?
Yeah.
When you pull it, I don't know if you can see that on the side, it actually gives. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're putting it on and you have glass, like most people, if you're going to put it on and you don't have glasses, Jim, you put it on like a baseball cap, like you put it over the back of your head. If you have glasses, you want to stick the front end first and then pull it over the back. And so that way your glasses don't have a problem. So I was wondering this, Jim. If you have glasses and you put it on, can you, because it's right on your face and I'm nearsighted, will it be blurry? Yes. Just like in real life, it's blurry, which is annoying because if I have a monitor and I pull my glasses off and I'm looking at this monitor, it won't be blurry because it's close to me. But because it's so immersive and the depth is there, your eyes still do this exact same thing. So you have to wear your glasses with it, which is, I had mine a little too tight and you know how you have the little pads. I ended up rubbing a little spot on my nose. But what I would tell you is, in general, yes. And what would be nice is, and I think this will happen on future versions, which is as visual correction, for people who do wear glasses so that you don't have to wear your glasses in it, which would make it more comfortable. So I have been thinking about putting my contacts in whenever I want to do this. Would it be more comfortable? Yes. Is it such a problem that I worry about it? No. But when I take it off, a lot of times my glasses are still in the headset.
Right.
And then I just pick them up and put them back on. Yeah. So it's not the end of the world, but they did think about it.
It would be awesome if you could just put your prescription in there and then it would just get a new pair of glasses. It would then wouldn't it be great? It would adjust. Well, we've gone a little bit long, Dwayne, and if anybody's made it, and actually everybody's still out there live. So we appreciate you guys staying out there. If you've been listening to the recorded version of this, thank you for staying this late. We appreciate it. I mentioned the Home Server Show meetup that's coming up Indianapolis, September 30th. Still tickets. You could still get there. Well, they're not really tickets, but Dave is charging for it. I think it's $20 to cover the food. Well, he's there. We know he spends way more than $20 a person on the food. It's always great. Dave does a great job on that. Head over to homeservershow.com and jump in the forums. There's a post about it. I'll leave a link to it in the show notes so you can get to that as well. Love to see you there. There's plenty of room. I need to get Dave on the show here. I'm going to ask him here this weekend to get him on and either before or after the show, the meetup. And hopefully, Dwayne, we can get you there. I'd love to. Maybe that's the weekend I try out Oculus and I'll determine if I'm going to buy one or not.
Worst case scenario, we always go to the Microsoft store and they got the Vive right there.
That's true. I don't have one in town, so that's what we'll have to do.
Yeah.
We'll have to do one in Indianapolis. Well, let me close this up. Dwayne, thanks for coming on today. Always great. You got tons of stuff. We'll have to get you back on as we get closer to Christmas. Maybe I'll have you do a Christmas gadget special with me. I think you'd be pretty good at that. What kinds of expensive things can we buy for ourselves for Christmas?
I've got a list.
We'll be mining Bitcoin to justify all the things that we're buying for ourselves. I'll remind everyone, if you want to support the show, we got a Patreon link out there. If you want to join us, $1 or $5 plan. Super easy to get it done. If you want to head out there, just click on Patreon. Boom, you're done. Remember, we do the post, and there won't be a long post show this week, but we do the pre and the post shows. I make those available to Patreon subscribers. So if you want to hear some of the debacles, the conversations, the goofery that goes, I just made that word up, goofery. If that goes on in the post show, join us on Patreon, and we'd love to have you as a supporter. Don't forget, you can send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Track me down on Twitter @JayCollison. Don't forget as well that this whole platform, whole thing, supported by Christian and Maple Grove Partners. So get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting, and Christian's just doing a great job with it. In fact, I'm going to see Christian on Monday. Christian and John and Ashton and I are all going to get together in the D.C. area on Monday, burn some flesh. Bacon is going to be involved. It's going to be great out of John's place. But we are, remember, MapleGrovePartners.com if you want to get those plans. Plans start as low as $10 a month, and that covers both. If you're podcasting, that also covers your media hosting. So great plan, and Christian just really likes to keep that open to just our community. Don't forget, you can get the app that's available. You can download that. It's free for you. HomeServerShow.com. We thank LastPass for their longtime sponsorship of that app. We are live. Oh, by the way, I'm going to be changing over too, since only the most engaged listeners listen to this. Changing over the newsletter starting this week. So if you sign up for the newsletter, I'm going to begin with the scheduling. Every week I'm going to send you an email. It's got the schedule of what's coming up. I just decided I can't do it monthly. I'm going to shorten it. There, when I need to put commentary in, I will. If you don't want it, just unsubscribe. It's okay. My feelings won't be hurt. Unsubscribe from it. If you do want it and you haven't signed up for it, sign up for the newsletter. Go to theaverageguy.tv/subscribe. I think that'll get you there. And sign up. And I will send you each week, I'll send you a little update plus all the shows that are coming up a great way to stay involved. We are live each Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv/live. Dwayne, thanks for coming on tonight. Always great to have you. With that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight.